Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning. The first is that I don't know a lot of details yet, but Sandra Vaughn is in the hospital with a blood clot in her lung. She was in a lot of pain yesterday. I'll find out more after worship, but if you will hold Sandra in your prayers this week. It is time to do our time and talents for 2025. Ready or not, the halfway point of this decade is upon us. You gonna hold it for me? Thank you. And so if you will go ahead and fill out your time and talents forms, they're at each entrance, and you can either put it in the offering plate or give it directly to me. You'll notice over here we have a tree. This is for the backpack program. So this year, we are feeding 50 children every weekend, sending food home in their backpacks. And we thought it would be kind of fun to have these little people to symbolize that so that you can take it home, put it on your fridge, pray for that child throughout the week, pray for that child on the weekends, but it'll also help you if you choose to pay monthly, pay your $13 a month, or if you'd like to pay for the whole year, if that's easier, it's $117. But please grab a little person on that tree and help feed them on the weekends. Thank you, sir. I am getting ready to go on vacation. I know I keep saying I'm going to take some time off, but I haven't had real time off since after Easter. And so I'm hopefully going to take this Thursday through the following Saturday off. If you have a pastoral care emergency, please reach out to Joe Davis. And if he needs to reach out to me, he can do that. But hopefully I can get some good time off to recharge my battery. December 1st, 2 weeks from today, is the first Sunday of Advent. And I'm really excited because this year we are offering a church-wide Sunday school opportunity for 4 weeks where we are going to look at the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas and how that story helps us better understand the Christmas story. I've officially studied all of the curriculum and it's really good. I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. So that'll be the 4 Sundays of Advent in the Fellowship Hall. Also on the 1st of December is the semi-annual congregational meeting to elect upcoming council members for 2025 through 2027 and to adopt the budget for 2025. Just a reminder that Agape is meeting tomorrow at 4. They're meeting earlier to help folks not have to drive so late in the evening and in the dark. Our basket offering this month is going to the pastor's discretionary fund, and so after the regular offering this morning, we will pass that around. All right, I think it's time for birthdays, Brantley, and your name is on the list this Sunday for baptisms. But celebrating their birthday this week are Jennifer Davis, Andy Beck, Jacob Hearn, and Wilson Hearn. And then remembering their baptisms, Freddie Fulbright, Brantley Bunton, and Jay Proctor. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Just a reminder that for those who are planning on participating in the children's Christmas play, which will take place on the 4th Sunday of Advent, we're meeting after worship in the Fellowship Hall. I am a part of that, so I won't be at the door to greet you after worship this morning. But if you are going to take part in that, please join us in the Fellowship Hall. And we have 2 prayer shawls this morning. The first is for Shelley Baker, who is a friend of James and Marie. She's been on our prayer list for a little while, and she's got some pretty significant health concerns, and so we pray for her. And Ann Phillips is a friend of Karen Beck's and Billy Curry's, And she also has some health concerns. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer and for the gift of our prayer shawl ministry. We ask that you would be both with Shelley and Anne as they navigate all of the challenges that go along with health concerns. We ask that you would bring tangible reminders of your presence to them, and that you would bless these prayer shawls, that as they feel the weight of these upon their neck or upon their shoulders or their laps, that they would feel the weight of our love for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And just a reminder that starting with the meal portion of our service today, we will begin part two of our instructive Eucharist. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have honored you with our lips, but have harmed our neighbors with our tongues. The cravings at war within us cause conflicts and disputes. In our desire to be first, we make distinctions among ourselves. We place the needs of the poor and the suffering last. In your great mercy, forgive us our sins. Draw near to us with grace in time of need, and turn us to follow the way of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God promises to forgive your sin and remember it no more. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, the source of eternal healing, your sins are forgiven. Amen. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your sovereign purpose brings salvation to birth. Give us faith to be steadfast amidst the tumults of this world, trusting that your kingdom comes and your will is done. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Ruby. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Lori. And here comes Maddie. And Brantley's over there. Good morning, Brantley. Kate, what did you bring up front with you? Is this your mommy's prayer shawl? It is a purple blanket, and this is actually Kate and Cameron's mommy's prayer shawl, and she brought it today because we want to pray over this because their mommy is having surgery this week, and so we want to pray for her and for this prayer shawl. But I thought this morning we could talk a little bit about our bodies and how much God loves our bodies. God created our bodies in our mommy's tummies, and God gives us food and rest to help us take care of our bodies. But God also gives us the gift of medicine and the gift of doctors. So when something is not quite right in our body, we can go to the doctor and get some medicine or have a test done or get some blood drawn, or in your mommy's case, have surgery. God gives us that gift of medicine to ultimately help heal our bodies, and we want your mommy to have healing. And so I thought we could pray for her prayer shawl this morning together. Would that be okay? Can we spread it out so that everybody can touch it? Can everybody come take hold of the prayer shawl? Ruby, can you get that corner? Sawyer? Maddie, you got it? All right. Do you want to hold it, Bradley, or you just want to hold up your hand? Okay. Well, let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for our
church.
Thank you for our church.
And thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for our bodies. And all the things you give us to help take care of our bodies. Please be with Kate and Cameron's mom this week as she has surgery. Help the doctors and the nurses to take care of her. And bless her prayer shawl, so that she can feel our love as she recovers. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up and praying over this. I hope you feel so much love throughout your recovery. All right, you may go to Children's Church with Anna and Trevor this morning, who is looking adorable in his bibs.
The New Testament lesson is from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray." Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines. But this is the beginning of the birth pangs. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you all ever get a melody or even a lyrical phrase stuck in your brain and it just keeps going in circles and circles? And sometimes you can't figure out why it's there or why it's stuck there, what it is. Well, the past couple of weeks, I have been in full Advent planning mode, right? Advent begins 2 Sundays from today, and it always, always befuddles me how quickly time passes by, right? In January, I'm going to begin my 5th year here. Where have the last 4 years gone? I don't know, they've flown by. And so we're finishing up this season of ordinary time as we move into Advent in a couple of weeks. And somehow it's already the 26th Sunday after Christmas. I know that number goes up by one each week, but it feels like it went from 2 or 3 to 26 just like that. And so as I've been thinking about this passing of time, this lyric has been in my brain, and I finally figured out where it was from. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all our years away. It's from O God, Our Help in Ages Past. But as I was thinking about the passage of time and how quickly it goes by, this phrase was in my brain, and eventually, once the melody came to my brain, I figured out what it was. Time, like an ever-rolling stream. And so in 2 weeks, Advent begins, and I love the season of Advent. It might just be my favorite season of the whole church calendar. Even the planning of it makes me feel excited and happy. And I think the lectionary couldn't just wait a couple more weeks, because I think this morning's gospel lesson is getting us ready and preparing us for Advent as well. Right, so often in Advent, our focus is on Jesus' first coming as a little baby. But Advent is just as much a season and of waiting and hope for Jesus' second coming as it is his first. The second coming, when Jesus, at the end of time, will return and set all things right and make all things new. But that Advent isn't as fun as the first Advent, is it? It's not as sentimental. There aren't any presents. It's not about a cute little baby. This Advent, when Jesus comes again, it feels unsettling to me. Now, that could be because I'm very organized and I am a planner. I like to be prepared for all situations. And I really don't like surprises, and I don't like to be caught off guard. And so the fact that we don't know what's going to happen, how it's going to unfold, when it's going to take place, that just causes a lot of anxiety for that planner in me. And so if I spend too much time thinking about it, I can become anxious. And it's actually kind of funny, because what for us is to bring great, great hope in thinking about has often brought worry and fear for us. Whether or not it's the uncertainty of the details or the fear that these passages have been used with to make people be afraid and scared of what's to come. But the truth is, and the mystery of our faith is, that Jesus has died. Jesus is risen, and Jesus will come again. Right, in the midst of the turmoil of life, that is our great hope, that the kingdom, the reign of God that began or was inaugurated when Jesus became human and lived among us, that kingdom, that reign that we see glimpses of in Jesus' life and ministry, one day at the end of time, Jesus will return and fully and completely bring that kingdom to earth. Everything will be made right. Everything will be made new. One of the ways we often talk about this is that Jesus is turning the world upside down. Maybe he's turning it right side up, actually, to the way God intended for it to be. But that's the process of the kingdom of God fully coming, that Jesus began to turn the world upside down through his life and his ministry. And Jesus calls us to keep help turning that world upside down. And one day when Jesus returns, the upside downness will be full and complete. The reason that we often call this turning the world upside down is because the coming of Jesus brings a complete reversal of the social order. Right? Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth." Jesus says, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry, for they shall be filled." Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the meek. There's a complete reversal of the social order here. Jesus came to free the oppressed. He came to preach good news to the poor, to do justice by caring for the least of these, the vulnerable and those on the margins. Jesus came to do justice by shattering the hierarchies that exist by human creation, right? Gender, race, ethnicity. Because in Christ Jesus, we all are one, and those hierarchies don't exist anymore. In Christ, the dead will be raised, the reversal. When Jesus fully and completely turns the world upside down by bringing his kingdom fully to earth, compassion, mercy, peace, and justice will reign. Swords will be turned into plowshares, the lowly lifted up, the mighty will be brought down from their thrones. In fact, there won't be rulers or leaders or countries anymore, because kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Every single earthly sign of power, of division, will be destroyed, because they won't be needed. Violence will be no more, and greed will be no more, and oppression will be no more. Because when Jesus fully and completely returns to earth, his law is love. And his gospel is peace. And that's what the kingdom of God will look like when it is fully realized. And so while we may not know when Jesus will come again or exactly how it will unfold, even if we don't know how we get to the end, we do know the end. We know the end, and that is so filled with hope that it brings great joy for all people. Because life can be hard and deeply disheartening and discouraging. And for some of the reasons even that Jesus lists in the gospel today, right? Many will come in his name and they will deceive many. False teachers and false prophets, false gospels have existed since the beginning of the church and in every age. And we are to be alert and keep awake that we are not led astray. Jesus says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. There'll be various natural disasters and famines. And all of these things make me really anxious and stir fear in me. But if I pause if I take a moment to be still, I can hear Jesus saying these words with such deep compassion. Do not be alarmed. Do not be alarmed. If Jesus were sitting right here with us and next to us, and we were telling Jesus all of the things that we are afraid of, all of the ways that life is hard, all of the ways that we in this world are struggling, I think Jesus would take us by the hand and he'd look in our eyes and he would say with that compassion, do not be alarmed. Stay awake, stay alert, stay mindful, but don't be afraid, because I am with you. And I will be with you until I return. And I promise I will make all things right. Until then, we join God in helping make the world be more upside down. We join God in bringing the kingdom of heaven a little bit more on earth. We don't sit idly or passively by waiting for God's kingdom come. Luther says that our neighbor, God doesn't need our good works, but our neighbors do. And so we help God's dream come true by living out our baptismal calling. Right? We renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God. We renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God. And we renounce the ways of sin that draw us from God. And we help bring God's kingdom just a little bit more on earth as it is in heaven with our lives, by living among God's faithful people, by hearing the word of God and sharing in the Lord's Supper, by proclaiming the good news of Christ through word and deed, by serving all people, following the example of Jesus, and by striving for justice and peace in all the earth. Jesus will come again, and he will make all things right. Until then, we stay awake, we stay alert, and we keep on living out our baptism and those baptismal promises. And so let us listen again to the words from Hebrews. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and to good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as is the habit for some, but encourage one another, and do it all the more as you see the day approaching. May it be so in our lives and in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. O God, in the washing of water, you set us free from the power of sin and death. Unite all the baptized in the covenant you have made with us as we strive for your justice and peace in all the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
By your merciful might, you sustain all creation. Stir us from complacency with the harm we inflict on the earth, and urge us to adopt sustainable ways of life that protect and restore our planet. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
With a selfless power, you protect all who take refuge in you. As nations rise against nations, defend all who are displaced or affected by war or violence, especially the Palestinians. Empower all people and nations to pursue peace and justice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
In your presence, you give fullness of joy. Care for all for whom joy feels distant. Be present with persons experiencing depression, anxiety, addiction, or any mental illness. Bring healing and wholeness to those in need, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Keith, Lori, and Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Merciful God, through the years you have gathered your church and this community for worship, fellowship, formation, and service. Enable us to look beyond the walls of our building to perceive where are you calling us forward. Merciful God, with thanksgiving we remember all saints and angels who delight in your everlasting presence. As their lives inspire ours, provoke us always to love, holding fast to the confession of our hope in you. Merciful God,
we offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to move about a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you, Brantley. Peace be with you. Good. I'm good. My knees are just a little creaky. Peace be with you, Judy. As part two of the instructive Eucharist begins, I'd like to say a few words about the collection or the offering. And I hope that you've all been able to read the article in the Holly Leaf written by our friend Pastor Tim Brown about the offering. If you haven't, it's really beautifully written, and I encourage you to click on the link and read it. So a collection or offering is taken for the mission of the church, including those in need. The collection is taken here largely because it came to be associated with going to communion. Because so God graciously feeds us in word and sacrament, our response is then to turn toward the needs of our neighbor, the ones that we've just prayed for in the prayers of intercession. And now with our gifts, we ask God to help meet those needs. After the collection is taken, we stand because not only are we presenting our gifts, but we are presenting ourselves to the Lord to be used to fulfill God's mission. God has given us our bodies and our lives, all that is ours, and we offer it to God along with those gifts. Everything we have is a gift from God, and we offer back just a portion of that in the offering. Whatever percentage of our income we tithe with, we don't honor God with just that percentage of what we have. We honor God with 100% of all we have, because we're called to be faithful stewards of everything God has given us.
Together, Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
I'm about to talk about why we stand during the Great Thanksgiving, but I also want to say that with some of this explanation, we're going to be standing a little bit longer. And so if you feel the need to sit down, if you're not comfortable standing up for that long, please sit down and be comfortable. And so for this Great Thanksgiving, we stand because we honor the presence of Christ in this meal and at this table. In this long prayer, we give thanks for all that God has done. And this Great Thanksgiving part of our liturgy actually dates back to the earliest days of the church, the earliest records we have in a document called the Didache, which date about 100 to 115, include this part of the worship. This prayer helps us get ready to come to the table. It's narrative in form, it tells a story. It's Trinitarian in structure. God the Father, Christ the Redeemer, Holy Spirit the Sustainer. And it sums up the teaching of the Christian faith by thanking God, especially for God's work in creation, for God's work in redemption, and by giving a quick recap of how God has been faithful to God's people throughout all of time. The first part, the Lord be with you and also with you, lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord, that is called the dialogue, and that actually dates back to those early days in the church too. In that moment, the presiding minister, myself, and the congregation, we bless one another, and then we direct our attention to God. We are invited to do at this table just what Jesus did, to take, to break, to bless, and to thank. And then the second part, lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. In Latin, this is called the Sursum Corda, and it literally means uplifted hearts. It's an invitation for us to lift our hearts to God. It calls us as a community to recognize God's presence in our midst, to set aside the distractions in our minds and in our hearts, and return our attention to God. These words and this action of lifting up our hearts help us concentrate on the primary focus of this gathering, which is Thanksgiving. And so the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. This next portion is a prayer of thanksgiving for God the Father, God the Creator. And it starts by acknowledging and thanking God for creating the world, for the goodness of creation, for placing humankind in the world to care for and nurture the earth as God would. This prayer traces the movement of God's grace throughout time, from beginning of creation and then as it unfolds through the biblical witness and now in our lives, culminating with the work of Christ. The last portion, and so with the entire communion of saints, with the angels and the whole creation, that is the bidding, where all of us are bidden to join with the angels and all of the people throughout all of history and all of place who have feasted at this table. Because when we come to this table and we pray and we sing, our voices are joined to something that extends far beyond this time and this space. It extends to every corner of creation throughout all of time. And even though we cannot hear all those voices, it doesn't mean that ours aren't joined to them. And so blessed are you, loving and faithful God. All your works from the heights to the depths echo your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Darkness withdrew and creation dawned. When the times at last had ripened and the earth had grown in full abundance, Your word created humankind in your image to steward all of creation. You gave us breath and speech that all might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you called good. And so, with the entire communion of saints, with angels and the whole creation, we join their unending hymn. And this hymn is called the Holy, Holy, Holy. It's the Sanctus, which is holy in Latin. And it comes through from words in Scripture. Right? In Isaiah 6, the prophet recalls seeing God's glory and grandeur in a vision in which Isaiah is transported to the throne of God and is surrounded by angels who call out to one another in praise of God's holiness, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." This song of adoration became the prayer of faithful Jews, and it has been since for centuries and centuries. And then the words of Psalm 118 were added, "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna is Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke, and it means save us. And this is what the people cried out to Jesus saying on what we know as Palm Sunday. And so this, we join this unending hymn. The Great Thanksgiving is a prayer giving thanks to Christ for all that he did throughout his ministry, his life, death, and resurrection, ending with the words of institution, the words that Jesus spoke on the night in which he was betrayed, when the first Holy Communion happened with the Lord's Supper. After that is a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to be at work in and through this present celebration to accomplish the purposes that God has for this meal, which are to nourish and to encourage and to strengthen the whole church. During this time, you'll see me pray with my palms facing down as a way of calling on the Spirit to be present in these elements. Around a table with the ones you called to carry on your story, you, Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to your disciples, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, break, and give us, that we might be your body in the world. After the meal ended, you, Jesus, took the cup of wine. Again, you gave thanks and praise, and gave the cup to your disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Send your Holy Spirit upon this cup and upon us, we pray. Take, bless, pour, and give us, that we might be your life flowing for the world. You'll notice that at the end of each part of the words of institution, that I bow in front of the bread and in front of the wine. Because as the words of institution are spoken, that's when the presence of Christ becomes a part of these elements. And so I bow in reverence to honor the presence of Christ in the bread and the wine. You are invited to do that as well. We include the Lord's Prayer in the Great Thanksgiving. This is the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. And it is a prayer that has been said over the centuries by all the saints with one voice. Not just those gathered here in worship right now, not just those worshiping right now in other places, but just like the Sanctus, when we pray the Lord's Prayer together, our voice is joined to this prayer that has been said and sung throughout the centuries. It has become the table prayer for this meal, and it is a sign of our unity in Christ, that we are one in him. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In just a moment, I will say the words inviting you to communion, but I want to say a little something about the moment called the fraction. After the invitation is said, and as the Lamb of God is beginning, I take the bread and I break it into two pieces. Fraction comes from the word meaning break into pieces. I lift it high enough so that all of you can see. After it is broken into two, I place it back into one loaf and place it on the paten. This moment, this fractioning and putting back together, it's meant to help us call to mind all the times that Jesus broke bread in his ministry. It's meant to call to our minds the Lord's Supper in which Jesus instituted this meal. It's called to bring to our mind that the action of breaking bread is how Jesus was revealed to his disciples after his resurrection. And at this point in the service, the bread has become for us the body of Christ. And so when it is lifted up, we also call to mind that Christ was lifted on the cross. And as the bread is held up and is broken, because it has become the body of Christ, we remember that Christ's body was also broken on the cross. And then the bringing back together of the bread symbolizes the unity that we have in Christ. It acknowledges that in Christ we are one. We who are many are one. Many grains of wheat come together to make this one loaf. All of Christ's people come together into one body of Christ. And so as the bread is being broken and put back together, we begin to sing Lamb of God. This was included in the liturgy in about the year 700. Just as John the Baptist declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," as Jesus came to him to be baptized, we declare with our song that we are beholding the Lamb of God, the very presence of Christ in, with, and under the bread. We are beholding the Lamb of God that we are about to receive. And so, come now to the banquet, for all is ready.
Thank you.
word to receive the elements is that it is an active response of coming to Christ. We have heard the good news in the gospel and in the sermon. We have offered our prayers for the church and the world and all those in need. We have given thanks to Christ for all that has been accomplished. And so we come, we actively come to receive the presence of Christ. And if you'll remember from Christmas in July Sunday, we hold our hands out like a little manger because we are receiving the presence of Christ just like Mary held him when he was a baby. And so you take your dominant hand and put it on top of the other hand, and you hold out your hands like a little manger. And then as you noticed last week, when Brantley was giving communion, he held it up for you just like I do. And the reason I do that is because I want you to see with your eyes, as you are hearing with your ears, that this is Christ's body, and it is for you, and you, and you, and you. This is the body of Christ, and this is the blood of Christ, and it is for you, to strengthen you, to nourish you, and to keep you in God's grace. So come, dear ones.
Thank you.
Kathleen Norris writes about the first time she saw communion happening in a Catholic church. And she was so amazed that God cared so much about the ordinary things, like doing the dishes, setting a table, unsetting the table. God absolutely cares for the ordinary in worship and in our lives. Before I ask you to stand for the table blessing, I wanted to tell you that when you receive communion, in the bulletin it says that you can say amen, you can also say thanks be to God. But the reason that amen is listed there is because it means may it be so, right? After we're done praying, may it be so to the prayer that we have offered. And so when the pastor and the communion minister say that this is the body of Christ given for you and the blood of Christ shed for you, we say amen, may it be so. The table blessing is a reminder of the blessing that we have just received in the bread and wine. It reminds us of what it has done and what it will do, that it keeps us in God's grace and gives us strength. We then have a prayer after communion. This actually wasn't added to the liturgy until about the 4th century, but it is a formal dismissal to go out into the world to do the work that God has given you to do. Praying after a meal, just as before the meal, is a Jewish custom. And this prayer, the prayer after communion, is an expression of thanksgiving and hope. And I think it's really significant that this meal begins with thanksgiving, and it ends with thanksgiving, because we are called to offer God thanks in all circumstances and unceasingly. And so now please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the sending, the fourth part of our worship service. I think it's the quickest, but it is so incredibly important, because in the sending, God blesses us and sends us out to do God's mission in the world. The sending reminds us of whose actions determine our worship, right? This part of the liturgy isn't called the going, which would be something that we would do. It's called the sending, because that's what God does. God sends us from this place to live out our baptismal calling, to bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world. And we respond in thanksgiving that we are sent. If you remember once upon a time the sermon about the different names for communion and what they each mean, the Mass, the word Mass, means that we are sent out into mission. It literally means go, it is sent. Go to work. You have seen and tasted and heard God here. Now go and do the work of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. And the word that we get church from, ecclesia, means called out ones. We come together in worship to hear God's word, to be fed and nourished, to pray together so that we can be sent out to be the body of Christ in the world. Then comes the blessing. The presiding minister is the one that proclaims God's blessing upon the congregation. Yes, it's my body, but God is the one who is doing the blessing through me to you. It's a time for you to hear God's good words one last time in our gathering, as God sends us back to do our daily work in our daily lives. And you again respond with the words, Amen. May it be so. This blessing is yes for the entire congregation, but it is also a moment where God is individually blessing each one of you. If you'll notice, the blessing is always Trinitarian, right? We gathered in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we are blessed and sent out in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our mission statement reminds us of what we are called to do, and it reminds us that worship is connected to the work that we are called to do in the world. Then we sing together one last time as we send one another out in peace to the world to serve others and to proclaim the gospel message. This last time of singing, it strengthens us as we prepare to disperse for another week. Singing at the sending, it gives voice one more time to the entire assembly, giving you one final opportunity in this service to praise and respond to God with thanksgiving. And finally, the dismissal. Every week, for centuries, Christians have been sent out to go in peace, to carry the Spirit of Christ with us as we go from this place. With the dismissal, the last word of the service belongs to the people of God. And that final word of worship is thanksgiving. We give thanks one last time and with those last words that we are called and sent out people. And so now receive the blessing. Ready, Kate? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
In statement, as united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.